Who won that?
I don't even have words right now.
Who made it back?
Benjamin, you just like fulfilled your dad joke. I don't know. Your dad.
Who made it back from the green room first?
It was definitely you, Benjamin.
It
was close, but it was you.
Sure.
Welcome back to the Space Case Sarah Show. Come for the science, stay for the puns really applies today. We're talking about space tourism on the ground, but now in actual space. Becoming an actual space tourist. So it started with people going to the ISS, which in my opinion is, that's big level space tourism.
That's huge.
And it's kind of the only place to go.
True.
The moon. It's a thing. Going to the moon is so much more like space touristy. You get zero G and you get a view.
And there's no parking, so you just circle around and just give up and come back.
I do think that the moon is going to be, that's like definitely new frontier for sure for space tourism. The way that it's shifting now though is all these private companies. Mm-hmm. So before it was either Russia or NASA. That's how you got up to the one place you could go, as you rightly have stated. But now we have SpaceX, we have Blue Origins, we have Virgin Galactic. Galactic is like setting up with the intention of space tourism. Like they're not even playing around. They're not even like, yes, we're going to do some research and stuff. Blue Origin is saying that, you know, they're going to do some research on their suborbital hops. But Virgin Galactic is like, nope, we are. Well, I think that they do have people going and doing some like spacesuit test flighting and stuff like that. But they're space tourism. I mean, it's in line with the brand of Virgin. It makes sense. So that is, I think that's the next step in our space tourism, which actually brings you a little bit down a notch from staying on the ISS. But getting to get to, and again, this is where now the FAA has stepped in and there's been all these like language changes of, you know, like that no one even really had ever heard of the Kármán line until Blue Origin and Virgin Galactic got in a little beef with each other about who's.
Oh, that was great.
whose rocket's going higher.
Yeah.
My rocket's higher than yours.
I think it's. Like, probably for the best. Like, I understand that there's a need to differentiate between a professional astronaut and somebody who receives the title of astronaut. I think space tourist is a little bit demeaning because there's still an incredibly intense amount of work that has to go into it. And it's not like hopping on a bus. Like, you are training. You do have to, you know, push through some trials. But it's not the same level as an NASA astronaut.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I feel like you don't completely agree.
I don't know.
Yeah. I'd have to say Blue Origin, it's kind of like hopping on a bus.
Oh, sorry. I'm not thinking about Blue Origin so much. The Blue Origin stuff is it's tourism. Yeah. I'm thinking more of the recent Axiom Space mission, or the first Axiom Space mission,
One. Okay, so like going up.
Yeah, if we're talking about people on the ISS, right?
Right.
That's what I was referring to. And so in that case, they, you know, they weren't just hopping, you know, technically past the Kármán line. They were going to the ISS. They were living on the ISS for like over two weeks, even though that wasn't quite what they planned. And in addition, they were doing research. They were doing educational outreach. Like that was logistically very intense. I know people who worked closely on that mission. But you can't call those guys space tourists, right?
No. Right. Yeah. No, I see what you're saying now. It's that
private astronauts,
sure.
Yeah,
those definitely took more work. And I would argue that there is also like a difference between the Inspiration 4 versus like the Blue Origin and stuff like that.
Yeah,
right. Absolutely. And that's where the line of definitions is going to have to be redrawn as we continue to move forward in this new form of space tourism, because like we've talked about multiple times, the Dear Moon project, they're going to go and orbit the moon.
Yeah.
But none of them have any professional astronaut experience. None of them have ever really even, you know, the intention of that program was to bring people who were artists and like non-astronaut material type of people.
Absolutely.
So it's interesting because, right, how do we define an astronaut? Because it's kind of like, well, just getting to space now might not qualify you as such. So I think it's fair to say that there needs to be new language probably developed for this.
Yeah. When Russia was selling tickets, I think for the 8 or 9 years that they did it, they only sold eight tickets. But since 2021, when Bezos first went and Richard Branson first went, there's been like over 45 private space tourists that go up. 45 people. And they went up for a fraction of that $20 million price tag as well.
Right.
Still a lot of money, but
yeah,
it's getting cheaper. And it is now literally a regular thing. There's a Blue Origin flight happening more often than people actually know.
Yeah.
How often are they going? Why won't they tell us?
Because you're not a billionaire and they're not selling to you.
It's because the Earth is flat and it's a giant cover-up. Hobby.
That's why they Blue Origin doesn't go around. It just goes up and down.
Yeah. And they do something to their windows to make it look curved, but really it's they're just screens. It's just this huge. Birds aren't real.
Birds are cameras.
Yeah. As we've learned. the birds are part of the bourgeoisie.
Wasn't that the whole point of COVID, so that they could keep everyone inside while they changed the batteries and all the birds?
Obviously.
Benjamin's face right now is like, for real.
This is the ultimate space tourism. It's all a hoax.
Was that an actual conspiracy theory?
There's a guy who has an organization, Birds Aren't Real.
Oh yeah, the website's incredible. It's so good.
How do we all keep getting these bird mind blowing facts? Like, like toilets and birds apparently are like our thing. Like toilet jokes and birds. Toilet jokes, like poop. Yeah, poop jokes and birds.
It's birds and toilets all the way down.
But looking ahead to space tourism, what it will become, I know for a fact you can book or reserve your spot for the Voyager Hotel, which is a planned space hotel that's supposed to spin and create, you know, artificial G forces so that you're not floating in space. I don't know. It's like so futuristic. But supposedly you can already reserve your spot for that. So we have those kind of things that, you know, I guess, who would have ever thought that you could pay your way to go to space back in the 90s? So we're sitting here in, you know, the 2020s, by the 2040s. Who knows what's going to be happening? But the moon in particular, that's the next big, I don't know, that's the next big jump for space tourism.
That's the next big rock. The closest to our big rock, that's the moon. That's the next big rock.
You know, it's within a reasonable time distance to get to. You know, Mars tourism is not going to probably happen in our lifetime by any means.
We'll get people on Mars.
We will, but I'm saying I don't think that tourism is going to happen for a long time. It's too far. It's too dangerous. It's too much. But the moon is very doable, right? You get there in less than 3 days.
Right.
There's an interesting, what's it called? I think it's called a space hut, Project Moon Hut. It's this really interesting foundation that's basically working on developing all of the things that we would need on the moon, basically to create a base on the moon, a private base on the moon, in preparation for doing all these things on Mars, right? Because if we want to do things on Mars, we have to test them in a place that it's much closer to, you know, Earth, right? If you want to test stuff on Mars, it'll take 6 months to get the stuff there, and then a few months to set it up, and then 6 months to get it back. Whereas the moon, and you know, it's a couple of days flight away, and you can just like test everything there. And if there's like, you know, a terrible situation that happens, you know, help is around the corner. well, around.
It's well, help is available.
Help is on the way, dude.
I'm kind of like my imagination is kind of running with this. So I can imagine national governments setting up these simulated Mars bases on the moon. But then when the Mars thing actually happens, that could be like a future tourism thing in its own right, where it's like, come and see what the astronauts on Mars, what life is like for them on Mars, you know, coming onto the moon. Watch that Excel.
More people going to the moon is going to happen a lot faster than people anticipate. I think we're going to have a lot of people on the moon. I think we're going to see people on Mars sooner than we think. Tourism on Mars, I agree. Maybe not during our lifetime, maybe. But definitely, before I'm gone, people will have gone to Mars and come back.
Where are you going?
I can't wait. Huh? Then Mars and come back.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you same.
Before I'm gone, as in the final I'm gone, as in the, pushing up daisies. Gone to visit the choir, invisible.
Oh, you're switching careers to gardening. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. When I become a permanent gardener.
A permanent fertilizer.
An internal gardener.
Yeah. You give back the your energy gardener. To the system, entropy. It will be, thanks to capitalism, we will see how quickly it will develop. And that is, I know a lot of people have mixed feelings about capitalism nowadays, but there is some good to it, I know, in the sense that it does help push advancement, and it's not a perfect system, but it's kind of like democracy. Nothing is perfect, but it helps. It helps. So we'll have to see. So, I pretty much know the answer. Would you book a vacation on the moon?
Oh.
Without thinking. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I would love that. That'd be so much fun.
It would be really cool.
I could finally dunk.
Yes. I could bring my safety bat and hit a home run. Easy.
There'll be ski and surf resorts on Moon Regolith.
Ooh.
Right. Go on a ski trip. In the moon highlands, whatever. Anyway, this has been a conversation about space tourism and how we're all sitting here like, yay, in our little homes. And maybe we'll go to a space museum as we're talking about ski resorts on the moon. Well, we're going to wrap up this show. As a reminder, as always, you may follow all of us on social media if you wish to make your lives a little more tortured. You can also follow IROC Space Radio. And until I stop promoting it, I guess I'm assuming that you can still sign up for our crew club. We love to give out t-shirts.
Yeah, get a t-shirt.
They're very soft. They're cozy.
They are, and they don't shrink. I'm horrible at doing
they
laundry.
Don't. They I don't know. Shrink. They're quality t-shirts. And follow us on social media. Make sure that if you haven't heard season one and you haven't gotten enough of us, go check out our episodes on all of the platforms, wherever you prefer to stream. We are there. I can almost like hearing that. Guarantee you that.
Everywhere.
And everywhere. And when the aliens come and they're like, this show drove us so bananas and we want to take you out, we will completely deny that who we are and just claim, and like, I don't know who Space Case is.
I think it was just nice to know that they were listening. That's nice.
At least someone cared. Right. Enough to come and take us out.
On the way to destroy us, they're like, man, at least these three guys will be gone.
Right, you have been listening to the Space Quesera show. Please join us again next week, and thanks for listening here on IROC Space Radio.
Ba-choo! Ba-choo!